It's Jefferson Graham. You're listening to another episode of the iPhone Photo Show. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at SmugMug. I use SmugMug to automatically back up all of my iPhone photos with the smartphone iOS app that does everything while I'm sleeping. All of my pictures go into the cloud. I use the website to sell prints. I use the website to run my website and to show my galleries off to prospective clients and interested folks. SmugMug has a free 2-week trial at smugmug.com. Our guest today is the one and only Scott Kelby. He is the prolific author of so many books about Photoshop and photography, including the iPhone photography book and the travel photography book. And this week, Photoshop was in the news. The new AI tools have been added to Photoshop in a beta to generate images within your image. We talked a lot about that on the live show. We also talked a lot about using the iPhone and traveling with the iPhone. So if you want to hear about Photoshop, go to youtube.com/photowalkstv. Check out the replay of the live show. And for now, let's listen to Scott taking some questions from viewers about photography. Big question here from Greg McMillan from Canada. Scott, what drew you to shooting more with your iPhone? It seems more and more pro photographers are doing it these days.
So what drew you to shooting more with the iPhone?
Yeah.
You know what? This is going to sound weird. Was it Drew? Was his name Drew?
No, it's Greg.
Greg. I'm sorry, Greg. So Greg, here's what's weird about it. I have learned that there are things that the iPhone just shoots better. There are things that it just does better. It does better today, not always, but I've got the iPhone 14 Pro. I think it does better in many low light situations, especially if you have to capture something quickly. You know, I've got 12 students with me and I'm doing a workshop in Lisbon or New York or wherever. We walk into a beautiful cathedral. Everyone's messing with their things. You know, everyone's messing with their stuff. We're shooting at night in this observatory in New York. Everyone's trying to get the right thing. I'm like, guys, just use your phone. They pick it up, click. It's right on the money. Panos are terrific. Time lapses are great. There's so many things that the iPhone just simply does better. You know, vertical panos, horizontal panos. I mean, there's just things where and situations where it does all the work for you, especially in at night and low light. It just does such a good job that you have to realize I've got this tool and it's in my pocket and it does. It's a 48 megapixel camera. Like, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Yeah, it's sunsets.
It is a very, very, very good camera. Now, you got to realize, so just to put things in context, I think it was Joe McNally who took the first cover of National Geographic that was used with a digital camera. It's a phenomenal picture. It's like a B1 bomber when it was just brand new or whatever. It wasn't a B1, maybe it was the B2, but it's beautiful and it's lit with, you know, all this stuff and all. It's the first picture, I believe it was 4 megapixels. Now you're shooting 48. I'll guarantee you your iPhone kicks the butt of the camera that Joe used for the cover of National Geographic those years ago. But I used to think that, you know, I've got a phone and in it, there's a really good camera. Now I think differently. Now I think I've got a really good camera that makes phone calls and text messages. It is a great camera. And a lot of it is changing, Greg, how you feel about it and the intention you shoot with it. I used to be, you know, oh, well, you know, if this doesn't matter, I shoot it with my phone. Now I realize my phone is a great camera. This is a different era of phone photography. And it's just a camera. It's a really, really convenient camera that you have on you. And it allows you to do things that are sometimes better than a DSLR, that are sometimes more convenient. And like Jeff said earlier, you can shoot in places you would never get away with a DSLR. You can shoot candidly with it. You can shoot the slow-mo stuff that you can do. I was in the middle of nowhere, China, and with these fishermen, and they're throwing their nets up in the air. And a friend of mine comes over and she shows me, she goes, look, and I see the fishermen start to throw it. And then it slows down and does this amazing, like Olympic quality slow-mo. And I'm just like, oh, try that with your DSLR. Try that with your mirrorless. Yeah. You know, the video and the stability is just, forget it. It does things your DSLR or SLR will not do. It does it better.
I was in Oldsmar, Florida, working with the folks at Kelby One. We were shooting a class on the iPhone photography, and we did back-to-back Canon R6 to iPhone 14 video. And pretty much we all agreed that the iPhone 14 was as good, if not better, on video.
It is scary. The video quality is phenomenal. And you know what else too, Jeff? Think about this. The camera companies, they know that unless you're a video professional, hardly any photographers are using video. They're just not. What's weird is they'll write it on a checklist. Video is important to me, but go up to a regular photographer and say, when was the last time you made a movie? When was the last time you sent a video to somebody? It's very rare. It's very rare. Believe me, I've tried to get people on board with shooting video on their DSLRs and mirrorlesses, and unless they're a wedding photographer, you can't get them to do it. But if you're shooting your phone, you'll shoot video all day long. You'll shoot video because it's already edited. It's easy to share. It's ready to go. You don't have to go into an editing program and put a bunch of things together because the clips live on their own and they're done. It's just video on the phone. It's, you know what one of my biggest regrets is, Jeff, when I go to a city? Like I just came back from 5 days in New York. I didn't shoot enough video. Mm-hmm. One of my biggest regrets, because I shot a ton of stills and I shot just a few videos. When I watch the videos, I'm like, why didn't I shoot more video? It's the same button. Everything's the same. I don't have to think in a new way. And I'm just like, it's just the next button over. I just, instead of choosing photo, I choose video. And just, it's crazy.
I feel that way about all travel photography. Why didn't I shoot more? Even though I shot a lot, why didn't I shoot more? I'm sure you've had the same situation, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The film's free.
Liz has a question. I think I know the answer. When was the last time you used an SLR? And I don't know if she means a DSLR or an SLR.
No, I think she means, a single lens reflex. I had to use, this is weird, Liz. I haven't been using mine at all. I use a mirrorless. I do have a mirrorless Canon R6 II, and I use that quite a bit. I do use the iPhone more than ever. I just did a whole workshop in New York, and I think I shot mostly iPhone. I had to use an SLR the other day when I didn't have the right cable to shoot tethered in Lightroom. I didn't have a USB-C to USB-C, so I had to pull out and dust off my SLR, my 5D Mark IV, and I had to remember how to use it. But I just didn't have the right cable, but I wasn't going to use it. And I went and bought it. We couldn't find the cable. I went and bought the proper USB-C cable from our friends at Tether Tools.
Okay. Well, it's funny because I just put out a piece today about your Memorial Day checklist for the things to be sure to bring with you before you leave for your summer vacation road trip. And cables was number one on the list. There are so many cables that you need, whether that be USB A to C, whether that be USB to C, whether that be USB-C to Lightning. I recommend having a dedicated space in your backpack. Leave the cables there. Just have them living in your backpack so they're always ready, right?
That's exactly what I do. I have a think tank bag. It's clear so I can see the cables and all. Yeah, that's exactly what I do. It's great advice.
Yeah. Another thing, this is very important, have a multiple phone or whatever charger in the car. I'm thinking the family of four driving along, going to a national park. Every person in the car needs to have their phone at full charge when they get out to take a picture, so they don't show up with a dead battery. So it's easy to get something that's either fits in the USB or fits in the quote unquote cigarette lighter, and then to also have the charger. Multiple charger for the hotel room, because getting power in a hotel room is very tough. I bet when you were in Portugal, you found one outlet, right?
There was one outlet under the desk. It was in the worst possible place. Hey, can I give a tip for sharper? It's a travel tip for sharper iPhone photos.
Yeah.
If your photos aren't sharp enough, clean your lens.
Yeah.
When was the last time? Think about it. When was the last time you cleaned your lens? Now, I keep my camera, if you saw me digging around, they're in my pocket. Now, my wife keeps hers in her purse. Can you imagine the junk? And fingerprints, just fingerprints that get on here.
Yeah.
If you want sharper shots, I carry with me in my back pocket. So this one I have here to clean my camera lens, you know, when I'm doing these broadcasts. But I keep a black, the cleaning cloth that came with an old iPhone, because I don't think they give you those anymore, do they, Jeff?
No.
They couldn't afford to give you. No, Apple is, they're struggling. So anyway, but I keep a cleaning cloth here, and it's I have a black one in my pocket. And when I'm getting ready to go out shooting, the very first thing is clean those three lenses. And you'll be surprised what a difference it'll make. You'll also be surprised how filthy your lenses. If you look at them, you're like, because you don't think about putting your fingers on those lenses. You get they get all kinds of junk on them.
Yeah. So be charged. Have a cleaning lens. Know what your storage is. Have a backup plan. That's the other thing, is have a backup plan. Everybody needs to have a backup plan. Everybody needs to be backing up their photos in the motel room when they're on the road, right? And because they take a thousand pictures or whatever, and if they lose their phone, they've lost everything. There's many different ways of doing backup. When you're on the road, Scott Kelby, what do you do?
Well, when I'm using my phone, I just make sure I connect to the Wi-Fi, because it'll sync the images to the cloud, so I don't really worry about it too much. One thing that you can do if you're worried about, you know, you're shooting a bunch of high-res raw images and stuff, is import them into Lightroom, and Lightroom will automatically sync them back to your Lightroom at home. So back at your home studio or your office or wherever you keep your main computer, if you have an iPhone, when you put them in Lightroom, it automatically syncs the high-resolution RAWs all the way back. When you get home, even if you lose your phone or whatever, you get home, all the RAWs will be waiting for you. So as long as you remember to connect to the Wi-Fi and let it do its syncing, that's, you know, you don't want to turn your phone off at night, you know, because then you're not backing up anything. If I'm carrying my computer and I'm shooting with my, you know, regular, you know, my Canon R6 too, I plug in an external hard drive. I have one of those little Samsung drives. In fact, I just bought a new one this week. I plug it in and I back up my images every. Yeah, that's exactly the one I have right there.
Let me give a word of advice about these drives. SSD drives are the best because they have no spinning disks, right? But they come in two speeds. I got the slow one from Samsung, and it was way too slow. And I sent it back to get the faster model. This SanDisk is twice the speed. And I move around a lot of video files. I mean, when I was moving it on the Samsung, it could take hours. And on this thing, flies right across.
All right, you're freaking me out because I'm not sure I checked the speed when I bought mine, Jeff. I got to go look now. I got to go to Amazon and look.
What do you do for cloud backup? Do you do the Lightroom or do you use Dropbox? What do you use?
I use both, depending. Sometimes I use Dropbox. Sometimes I use Lightroom. If I'm doing a mobile workflow when I'm using, like I took my iPad with me and stuff, then I absolutely use Lightroom. If not, I'm going to drop them. And also, Jeff, just so you know, I don't throw 1,000 photos into the cloud. If I went shooting that day, I don't know about you, but I always feel like I want to look at my photos before I go to bed. So I put them into Lightroom. I make my picks. I take just my picks. So if I shot 1,000 shots and I have 72 picks, I just take those raw picks and put them into Dropbox and it's done.
Okay.
That way I know they're taken care of.
I use Smug Mug. They are my sponsor. So there you go. But they have a wonderful auto backup app in the phone, both the iPhone and Android, that backs up everything you've shot on the phone. And so while you're sleeping, all your stuff is up there. You do have to then go weed through everything to find it. I really don't like to make my picks until I see them on the computer, but at least stuff is backed up. Right. Roy has a question I don't know if you're familiar with out there. Any tips for taking pictures in the Saguaro Desert Park and trails on an iPhone? I'm assuming that's in Arizona because that's where Roy lives.
Yeah, Roy, I'm sorry. I've never been there. I have zero tips for you on that one. I wish I could help you on that one. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be more help on that one. Sorry.
Based on what we've just been saying, Liz says, sounds as if the camera might be going away then. I just have to give a shout out to my beloved Sony A7 IV and my beloved 70-200 millimeter lens. When I do paid portrait gigs, I use the camera. You can't go wrong. Everybody looks beautiful. The depth of field, the bokeh looks even better than it does on an iPhone. As much as I love the iPhone, paid gigs, I do the Sony. And I know you've been running around with your Canon. And you're still shooting on the Canon. So how do you answer that question about
the future
cameras? Yeah,
Liz, I think it is going away for certain genres of photography. I do think it's going to go away. But right now, there are still a lot of weaknesses, unfortunately. Wildlife. It's not good for wildlife. All your animals wind up being this big. It just doesn't have the zoom and the reach. It's not good for shooting action sports. You're too far away from the action. There are certain things. And for example, Liz, if I hired you to shoot my kid's wedding, and I'm going to pay you $5,000, and you show up and the only thing you're shooting on is an iPhone, which is what everybody in the audience is shooting on, you're going to see the most angry father of the bride you have ever experienced. Don't show up to my $5,000 wedding shoot. Don't show up to my portrait shoot or fashion shoot in New York with a phone, or it's instant death.
But Scott, just so you know, yes. I could shoot a wedding on an iPhone like that. No problem.
Oh, you absolutely can.
No problem. I'd get every shot.
I'd get all the
family shots, all the family groupings. The only thing I can't get is a close-up of the bride looking at the groom during the ceremony unless I'm standing right behind her. That's all.
It's not very practical to use flash either, and I shoot all weddings with flash. I don't shoot necessarily the ceremony with flash, but I definitely shoot the bridal portraits, the formals. I mean, so can you shoot a wedding on a phone? Absolutely. Millions of people do it every day. Am I going to pay you $5,000 and you show up with an iPhone? No, that is not going to happen. So, Jeff, let's say that you get hired by Vogue and you're going to shoot the cover and you show up with an iPhone, you'll be the fastest photographer fired in the history of Vogue. So unless they agreed, hey, it would be cute to try an iPhone, but they're not. They're going to expect you to show up with the big guns.
Okay, we have a question.
So I think, to answer Liz's question.
Okay, we have a question from SF Tesla that we have to show him the right way. He doesn't like iPhone videos because they're vertical. Well, don't shoot them vertical.
Yeah, I shoot everything wide.
Yeah, always.
Unless I know I'm going to TikTok. If I know that this is going on, you know, for Facebook or TikTok, I shoot everything wide. Video is supposed to be shot wide.
Yeah. Crop it. If you really want to go vertical, you can crop it. And even for YouTube Shorts, you could take your horizontal videos and turn them into verticals.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then Sam mentions that you would not shoot an iPhone for, you would know about this, about rocket chips.
Yeah, this is another one. This is another genre that is one that I shoot. I shoot aviation. I shoot air shows. And I see people with their iPhones holding it up to the sky. And I know that blue angel going by is going to be this big. And they think, oh, just crop it in. It doesn't work. It's never sharp. You know, it's like, and everybody there is shooting with an iPhone. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
there are still genres out there. Rocket photography. I mean, there's more, you know, birding. And there's all other these genres that just don't lend themselves yet to iPhone photography.
Yeah. Well, Scott,
I think
and I
that's going to change this year.
Scott and I are both hoping and expecting Apple in the iPhone 15 to finally have a 10X zoom or 5X zoom or something like that.
Yeah. Six, right? I think six or 10. I'm hoping it's 10, which means it'll be six.
Six. Here's a great question that you don't get every day. From one Van Halen fan to another, what's your favorite album?
Oh, it's their first album. What is it? It's called
Van Halen? 1984?
Yeah. From 1984. That's the one. Yeah, absolutely. I love those early songs are just so great. I love David Lee Roth back then. Unfortunately, I think he's lost his hearing and can't find a note in a bucket.
For those of you who don't know, Scott kind of likes music. Kind of.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Kind of. Let's show the single shot. There's two guitars behind him. Only two. Wait. Two, three, four.
Oh, I think we have 18 in this room.
Uh-huh.
And because there's more behind and there's more on the floor. There's three acoustics over here. There's a Van Halen. There's an EVH right here on the wall. Here. Let me see. Can you see that? There's an EVH.
There's my there's two of mine right behind me. What's the one you play on an everyday basis? The first one you'll pick up? Scott?
Probably this Ibanez right here. It's got some humbuckers. So pretty. Look at the back of this. Just gorgeous wood. And it's not a very expensive guitar, but it just, the action is so nice and low in it. So it's really just, I don't know. This is my kind of go-to guitar because I can play a lot of different styles on it, you know, thanks to the pickups. And I play a lot of classic rock. So,
yeah. Okay.
That's my grab it go-to.
This is my handmade guitar by a luthier in Laguna Beach.
Now, here's something important to note. I don't want you to be thrown off by the number of guitars. Jeff has two, and I have just 18 or 20 in this room.
Well, I have more.
Jeff is 18 to 20 times better at me on guitar. Jeff is a very, very accomplished. No, stop it. Jeff is very, very good. I see stuff that he posts online, and I'm like, holy cow. His finger picking style and the things he's able to do and his interpretations of songs where he'll do his own kind of style on it. He's so much better. I need distortion. I have to play a Van Halen song to get through it. You don't ever want to hear me. I have a couple acoustics, but just because like Motley Crue uses them sometimes. But okay. Jeff is very, very good at guitar. Very good. Don't let the number of guitars throw you.
No, there's more on the other side. There's more on the other side. A big question that people always ask me is, hey, where's your next trip? Where are you going? And I've been saying, I have a big one. I have a big one coming up. Do you know which trip that is, Scott?
I'm not sure. I hope you're coming to Florida.
No, I'm not coming to Florida. I'm driving to South Dakota. I'm going to Eric Kuna's photo workshop.
And yes, that's right. You're going to that workshop. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm filming a new class for KelbyOne.com. It's called Photographing the American West on an iPhone.
Oh, you're so good at those classes too. People love them. We get rave reviews from the classes that you do for us. So thank you very much for doing that. We love that you do that.
I'm very excited. And, first stop is Prescott, Arizona, then Monument Valley, Moab, Utah, and Breckenridge, Colorado, and Boulder, and Tombstone, and Deadwood. And it's going to be fun, huh?
Oh, dude, that sounds phenomenal. And you're going to love Eric's conference. Yeah, we'll have a great time out there. It'd be light painting and shooting the Milky Way and everything else.
Scott Kelby, this has been a lot of fun.
Jeff, thank you. I love talking this stuff. Photoshop and iPhones, let's go.
Yeah. So if you want to check out Scott's work, first of all, go to Kelby One and take his class on how to use the AI-powered Photoshop. Start there. I want to know how to do that with all the brides that I shoot and cut off their legs. So we'll start there. ScottKelby.com and Instagram and Facebook and all those other good things. The Grid every Wednesday. Is it 1 o'clock, right? 1 o'clock Eastern?
1 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'm JeffersonGraham.net, PhotoWalksTV.com. We have the new episode is about Memorial Day checklist, so be sure to check that out. It went live today. And thanks, everybody, for checking us out. Thank you for the kind words, Scott, about my guitar playing. That's pretty good. You know, here's a song. Here's one that I know he really likes a lot.
See, he's taking the Flintstones theme and making it beautiful. Yes. Yes. Alrighty. That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, everyone, for watching. You've been listening to the iPhone Photo Show. Today's episode was brought to you by our good friends at SmugMug. SmugMug has a free 2-week trial available at smugmug.com. Think about SmugMug for selling your prints online, for showing off your online galleries, and of course, for online backup. We'll be back at you next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.